Welcome to Unleash Your Courage. This is Angela Schroeder. If you're joining us live on Facebook or on Turfs Up Radio, we are glad that you are here. So excited to have Joe with me here this week as a guest. Joe spoke at our mastermind on communication, and I've had the privilege to get to know him over the last couple of years. Absolute master at communication, and I learned so much in each and every conversation we have. So excited for today. Thank you for joining me.
It's great to be here, Angela. Thank you. Like you said, we've known each other for a little while, so it's fun to have this conversation today.
It is. Learn so much every time. So I'm excited to learn more. But instead of me giving a long intro, I'm going to let you just tell us a little bit about you and your story. Kick us off.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good. So I have been in the communications line of work for many, many years. I've actually been in marketing and communication for the past 17 years or so. And that's run the gamut from working in the PR agency and communications agency world and helping tech companies out on the West Coast build brands, all the way into now where I have been for the last 13 years, which has been in financial services, working as the senior vice president of corporate communication for Carson Group, here based in Omaha, Nebraska. We're a large RIA and wealth management firm that serves right around 140 offices around the country, 140 advisor offices, almost about 1,000 people in those 140 offices. And then we have close to 400 people here in our home office in Omaha. And my primary role is helping with internal communications, not only helping inform and engage our employees, what we like to say, our stakeholders. Angela, I know you've caught us use that term before. We don't just see people as employees, but as people who actually hold stake in the success of the company. And so we call them stakeholders. That's something that our CEO and founder, Ron, has believed ever since the beginning. But in addition to helping inform and engage that internal audience, making sure our growing number of colleagues and coworkers are all on the same page, we're also making sure that those 140 offices around the country are aligned, well-educated, well-informed, and that they know exactly what's coming down the pipe and how to handle change. And I know that's something that we're going to be talking about a lot today.
Yeah, so many of our listeners are business owners and or involved in business and leaders, and maybe on a smaller scale, but I mean, wow, you run and lead communication at such a high level. And so we're excited to learn from, you know, all those logistics and the importance of having courageous, high stakes conversations and making people feel valued. Like I said, I love that you guys use the term stakeholders, and really just the difference that one term makes in not using employees and people really feeling a part of the game. So
it's huge to building a brand and huge to building something more than a mission. We always like to say we're building a movement, not a mission. And I think plenty of firms use terminology to help with talking about their mission and vision. And those are all great, necessary things. But when you're trying to create something bigger than that, an actual movement that your people can feel good about and get behind, then they need to be bought in to the purpose of the firm. And that's really where we feel that the term stakeholders aligns with that expectation.
I love that. See, I already have nuggets. Yeah. Movement. And what a difference just that one word makes in people feeling part of a movement, not just the business's mission.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on from that how important it is for people to feel a part of things. And it is such a competitive market right now. We know that, right? In every industry of labor. Talk a little bit about how we retain the awesome people that we have. How do we retain that top talent? Because in a competitive market, if they don't feel it's amazing, it's easy to lose them.
It is. Yeah, that's well said, actually. And I'm glad you started with zooming out of everything here for a second. Yes, we're going to talk about what it means to be a courageous communicator today and why communication sits at the center of this conversation and retaining top talent. But if you zoom out and you really look at the environment right now, so whether you're in this and looking through the lens of it as a business owner or an entrepreneur, for a small company, a mid-sized company, a large company, or you're an employee at one of those companies and you're looking to figure out exactly how to rise up through the ranks or how to become a better leader for your team, there is a huge amount of room we have to grow and improve when it comes to communicating as humans. And the environment right now is what's bringing this need to the surface. So, I mean, if you look at just that competitive labor market, like you mentioned, Angela, the ever-looming fears of an economic recession, the fact that we have social injustice issues and war and, you know, anything from those social and political norms that are trying to be risen through any type of media, social media being a huge one of those avenues, but in so many different ways, there's a lot coming at us and there is so much that we misinterpret or that we actually take our own biases with, and we either build good habits or bad habits based on the information that's coming in. And so what I always like to remind people is people themselves, like the human capital you have working for your firm is the company's largest asset right now in the competitive labor market, and it's your largest expense. And for both of those reasons, you should be looking at your people with a fine-tooth comb and saying, you know, how is it we're supporting them? How is it we're going to help equip them to become better leaders? Because they will either be the make or break of that company's success, especially in a hyper-competitive environment. So with this increasingly competitive labor market, change management has been the topic of the year, in my opinion, of 2023. It's something that we've been dealing with a lot at Carson Group as the company continues to grow. There's not only a lot of change happening in the working world with how we work, think about workplace flexibility, working from home versus working for in an office versus having that fluid motion between the two, depending on what your life demands of you, all the way to the outside factors. So what's going on in the economy right now with mass layoffs? You know, we just heard, you know, Disney is looking to lay off another several thousand people. And that's after companies like Amazon and Twitter and so many others have gone through their own battles in the first quarter of the year. So in my opinion, communication sits at the absolute center of this issue. We deal with misinformation and biased media, only delivering that point of view that we agree with. And we've lost this art of how to have constructive conversations. How do we actually absorb the information that we're getting and assess it with this unbiased lever where we can say, all right, I can either agree or disagree with what's coming at me. Am I able to take that in without any sort of judgment so that I can develop an opinion of my own? And I think when we're looking at retaining top talent and what's going through the minds and the hearts of all of our coworkers, all of our employees, our stakeholders here at Carson, something that we're always looking at is what outside factors are really affecting everyone. Right now, as we head through the first quarter of this year, we're finding, and I saw a survey just the other day that said 61% of communications teams out there, again, this is for a lot of mid-size and large-size companies, are feeling that employers of all sizes, that major changes in the organization are among their top priority for the year. So communications people are looking at this and saying, there's a lot going on outside the office. There's also a ton that is being brought into the office because of what's going on outside of the office every day. And that sort of change management is a huge part of what we're trying to navigate right now as a communications team. I think the other side of this is alignment. So we were just talking about how polarized and divisive the world can be nowadays, especially when it comes to how we communicate. Alignment is one of those key attributes that you need within your company in order to retain top talent. So in that same survey, around 70% of communications teams at mostly larger companies, looking at companies that are more than 500 employees, are shifting that focus to achieve alignment because there has been so much growth over the last few years since the pandemic started, especially in some sectors like technology, where you see this extremely bloated organization that's overhired. And now you get to this point where you need to realign teams. You may need to think about how to better use your people, how to look at them as being a lot more resourceful with their time and energy and skill set. And so that alignment is something that communications teams are absolutely tuned into right now. And so I think change management and alignment are both two major factors that sit beyond the communications conversation.
Oh, so many powerful nuggets in there. And I think so often from, people think that the communication of retaining top talent is completely different things than you talked about. When people think of just like, okay, how can we better reward our people, or are just thinking the basics of culture and not a lot of the important things that you talked about. So many people and companies, I think, do not address that all that's going on the outside, that our people are all in this environment with so much noise. And if leaders don't address that to become in alignment with their people and make sure, that everyone is on the same page and doing that so consciously. I love that word alignment, because everyone does need to be in such alignment on all the things, where the company is going in this crazy time of change, and feel confident in that as well.
There's a lot to consider there, especially when you think about how the outside world influences the way people work each and every day. And so many times managers or CEOs or entrepreneurs try to treat their workers as, once you check in, you're a cog in the wheel and we need to figure out how to maximize your time. And, you need that mindset as a business owner, but you also need to take into account the fact that these are humans who are influenced inside and outside of the workplace, and the fatigue they feel outside of the office, whether it's what's going on in the world or what's going on in their families or what's going on within their friendships or relationships, all of that they bring back to work with them. And communication has a big role to play in how you support those people.
Oh, absolutely. And you said it before and reflected again of like the better use our people that we're trying to see, how effectively we can use them. But when they are in real alignment with the vision and what's going on and what's going on in the economy, they want to better use themselves to be part of the movement. Yeah. So the other thing you talked a lot about is the importance of change management right now and how that is so top of mind. So can you talk a little bit more about that? A lot of people, hear change management and aren't even sure what it means. So
you'll let you
do it.
Let the communicator do it, right? In a lot of ways, in the way to define this is, it means a lot of things to a lot of different people, right? Change management is something that is a very broad term. And depending on where you're at in the maturity of your business, or let's just say within your relationships as well, we are always navigating how to adjust to those around us. We're always trying to figure out how to adjust either to the people around us or to the environment. And then that informs us of how we are to show up each and every day at work. Mm-hmm. And so something that I always love to bring up, and many people listening right now probably are somewhat aware of the Edelman Trust Barometer. It's a huge global study that happens every single year, done by Edelman Research. They've got their own website, actually. It comes out every single year where they just give, they really focus in on this whole idea of trust. Like, what is the level of trust in the world today? And how is that impacting in a positive or negative way how business is doing, how the economy is going to respond, how brands position themselves? And so it's a really fascinating, almost psychological bend to how to support people every day. And what they're finding out this year from a lot of the research that's done, businesses have become the number one trusted source of information. And this is outside of government. This is outside of media, because let's face it, it's actually, social media is among one of the worst trusted formats out there. Or if you group it all together as an institution, social media is just the least trusted overall. Media, we all know this, trust in media has drastically gone down over the last 4 to 5 years, just because of how slanted storylines can become, because of how many biased news agencies have been built and created since everything has gone down in the world with the pandemic, and everybody has their own slant with their own agenda. So you have to be more careful than ever about the information you're taking in, the misinformation out there. But what we're finding is, in the midst of all of that uncertainty, employees are actually coming to work and they're going to trust in their own businesses, their own managers, their own CEOs more than they will those outside institutions to get their information. So if you think about this as a business owner, whether you're a small business owner or a CEO of a large company, your people are actually looking to you to comment on what is going on in the world and how does the business see this and our position in the market, but also is what I'm hearing from you as the CEO going to align with my values, and does it make me feel more confident in working here, or does it erode trust? And so think about your role as a business owner, knowing that they are among the most private businesses or among the most trusted organizations out there. Small businesses in particular continue to have high trust factors. And 96% of mid-size and large-size companies have provided some sort of additional resources in the last, let's say, since 2020 to address mental wellness. And that's something that is playing a huge part right now as we're talking about all of these things that affect our mental health. People are looking to their business leaders to provide them with that education, that training, maybe even the resources and the support and the help that they need to navigate these uncertain times. And so think about how you can start even at a base level. Something we do here at Carson is we'll bring in a few doctors from the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and we'll actually have them sit on a panel to talk about the state of mental health, what they're seeing from a research perspective, and then how they are actually applying and coaching their own patients and other business owners on how to respond to that need in the marketplace. So even having that medical perspective is extremely valuable, and bringing that into the workplace has been a cool thing that we've been able to do for our stakeholders. Outside of that, you have a lot of people, nearly three quarters of us who are in the workforce today, usually feel like we're missing out on some sort of information from the company. And that's probably because of the amount of information. It's also because we don't always get the information we're hoping for from those business leaders. And so think about just the information overload right now. How much are you trying to give to your employees each and every day that not only educates them on how to do their job better, but gives them some clarity on what's going on in the world and how your business is playing a role in that? Actually, Angela, I've got a quick question for you on this, because I know you and I have had this conversation before, but how much time per day do you think that the average knowledge worker, will say, spends just searching for information in order to do their job?
That the average
How much time a day do you think
the average person? Guess this, and I should know it.
Just give me a guess, and we'll see how close you are.
How much time they spend per day looking for information?
Yeah. To do their jobs. So think of an 8-hour, 8 to 10-hour workday.
Too much time.
How much time?
2 hours.
You're pretty close. We actually spend about 2.5 hours a day searching for information on average. And that is an astronomical amount to me. I mean, that is at least a quarter of your day spent not actually doing the work. It's just figuring out who to go to get the information in order to do your job. And so this comes back to communication as well. There's so much opportunity out there for business owners and entrepreneurs to better educate their people, because in most cases, without you probably knowing it, your workers are spending a lot of time every day just trying to find the information they need inside of your own resources, inside of your own company, to do what they feel they need to do in their role. So all of this, in addition to the stress levels rising, we've talked about this before too, with stress levels rising and economic outlooks being uncertain, and there's inflation happening all over the place, social unrest. It's just created a lot of change for us to navigate inside and outside the workplace.
Oh, so much in there. Even though I guess 2 hours, because I know that is terrible.
Yeah.
Backwards in the nuggets. Because I think that is such a leadership problem, right? Such a leadership and communication problem. And I wish I could play the video, but this is radio. I should have had it keyed up, because it made me think of when you presented at our mastermind from an episode of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Like, what is your fold in the cheese? So we'll, my watch is talking.
It's so trying to answer that question.
I'll have to post the link to that in the show notes. And I think it so relates, like, what's your fold in the cheese to this topic? Because if we're not clearly creating, you know, clearly communicating, and that's what the problem is. If someone's spending 2 hours, a fourth of their day, trying to find information on how to do their jobs, I mean,
you've either got a highly unproductive workforce, or you could make them more productive. Or, like you said, it's speaking to your leadership ability and what you're actually putting in front of your workforce in order for them to do their jobs every day. And in so many cases, I think leaders just try to push everything down the line and assume that their team knows exactly what's expected of them and how to do their work. And in most cases, they're looking for more guidance.
Exactly. And a lot of times as leaders, right, at the higher level, we as visionaries, just want the details executed don't put into place that next piece of someone leading and guiding those efforts. We are like, we have the great ideas.
Yeah.
And especially in, I think it's probably better when there's more structure in larger businesses, but especially in small businesses. And a lot of you listening, like, you're the visionary and you're like, I got all these ideas and right. I just want you to execute them. And our thing is like, oh, just problem solve. Just figure it out. Be strategic and figure it out. Find it. I don't want to do the details. Instead of putting that next position in place of, let's clearly define and execute and give you all of the resources for what you need to do so that you can be the most effective.
Yep.
And imagine the confidence that gives our team members as well when they really know how to do their job. Because I can't imagine those 2 hours trying to research how to do your job feel good either.
No, that's just adding to the stress we've been talking about in the first half of this call, actually, you know? And in so many cases, most leaders don't realize this. They want that initiative taken by their team, and that's great. Like, give that creative room for them to do their work well. But you need to come across as a competent leader. And oftentimes, if you're not giving clear direction or some sort of clear strategy, like you said earlier, you know, if you're a big ideas person and you simply just want to communicate that idea out without little guidance, your team is going to look at you and say, I don't know if I have enough trust that you've thought this through. And so I'm not only trying to do my work and, you know, with half the information available to me, but I'm doing it with little confidence in your ability to know exactly what this will do to move the company forward. So the more specificity you can provide to give your team guardrails, the more confidence they'll actually have in you as a leader. And that will help build trust and improve communication in the firm as well.
Yeah, that was a great link back to the other things. And it's fascinating to me that trust factor that you talked about too, that, wow, what a responsibility and opportunity we have. That is where people are placing their trust is in us, what a huge opportunity that opens up. If they're not trusting the media, social media, or anything else, and we have the opportunity, man, we better maximize that.
Right. Well said.
So we have to take a commercial break. I told you I'm so awkward at these live. Facebook people, you might not be able to hear the commercial break, but I promise they can on the video. So much important stuff that we've I could go down so many rabbit holes with you. But we've obviously discussed how important right now in the building trust, in that leadership role, that communication is the most important skill. It is the most important opportunity to really effectively use your communication skills. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said this for a long time, and obviously I have a little bit of bias here as a head of corporate communications for a firm, and how that really is the lifeblood of a culture you try to create in a business. Mm-hmm. But soft skills overall are just so often not taught in our educational system. I mean, we figure out the business acumen side of things. We look at exactly operationally how to go through building a strategy and what it takes to build a business plan and how to hire people. But it's all of that soft tissue in between, where we think about like interpersonal skills, how to be a sensitive yet strong manager, how to navigate conflict resolution. All of those things are not taught. And so those are usually the areas that our managers and our leaders are ill-equipped to deal with most of the time. And to me, this is probably the most lucrative skill of the future. If you're looking at the next 10 to 15 years in the workforce, 10 to 20 years in the workforce, there would be plenty of competent people available in the world. I mean, we even see enough going on with ChatGPT and AI and that ability to be able to just churn out content if it wants to. What you need to figure out, and where I see the most opportunity for humans to differentiate themselves, is going to be in those soft skills. And so the world has become so, you know, opinionated and divisive and sensitive and systematized that we forget how to do those things like conflict resolution. In fact, I came across the stat from the World Economic Forum the other day, suggesting that investing in those human skills is what they like to call them, like creativity, initiative, critical thinking, persuasion, for example, negotiation tactics, emotional intelligence. We see all over the place now. There seems to be a wave of support for EQ or emotional intelligence and even social influence. Those are oftentimes proven in research that they are going to be the most needed skills of the future, because we have an entire generation who's grown up with social media and access to nothing but screens. They've actually forgotten and are ill-equipped on how to deal with other people. And people are still running the world as of today. And so what we're finding out is that younger generation just isn't equipped to have those conversations, to know how to navigate a conversation in the workplace. I can't tell you how many awkward conversations I've had with younger people who don't know how to enter a room, pose their idea in a strong way, and then handle questions in a dialogue, in a constructive dialogue. They're not used to that interaction. They went to college all online. They went to school online. And then they jump into this workforce and they're just ill-prepared to take a lot of that on. And so McKinsey's finding this out too, McKinsey Research. I mean, they're saying that out of the 18,000 people they've surveyed across 15 countries globally, that those cognitive skills and that conflict resolution, inclusiveness, mental flexibility, interpersonal skills and self-leadership, all of that stuff is going to be what separates the leaders from the rest over the next 10 to 20 years. And so that's where I feel it opens the door for communication to come in and say, hey, there are a lot of skills here that are very needed in your company, whether you have a large company or a small company, a team lead or an entire division head. Those types of people need to be so adept at working with people and knowing themselves extremely well. Self-awareness is another big part of this conversation. But to me, I think Simon Sinek always said it best, where he had talked several times. He's brought up how he's not always the best fan of Jack Welch and his teachings from the 80s and 90s. And that leadership style is kind of going away. And what you see is there's this shift to more authentic, sensitive leader who is, I think the way that Simon Sinek says it is, he says, leadership isn't about taking charge, it's about taking care of those in your charge.
Yes.
And to me, that is a line that could have entire courses and curriculum built around it, because oftentimes our leaders in the companies just don't see themselves as somebody who's responsible for someone else. They see themselves as a communicator who just needs to spit out a few key lines and then let everybody go to work.
I love that Simon Sinek quote.
Yeah.
Taking care of those people in your charge, taking care of people. And bridging back to a comment you made before about the importance of addressing mental health in the workplace, and not just addressing it and providing those opportunities, but really making it a priority for people, and ties into what you were just talking about with self-awareness. And that if we expect and now know that a different type of leadership, like you just said, is so important, that the not leadership from the charge, but the leadership of taking care of people, that we can't really be those effective leaders without an extreme sense of self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen, as we've had conversations and know about, and I am so passionate about. You can't have that level of self-awareness unless you take some serious steps to address your own mental health. You might not think you have a problem, because we, as business owners and entrepreneurs, we have this ego, I think, that like we are on top of the world and can be this type of leader.
Yeah.
But to be the person that takes care of, you have really got to take a look at your own mental health and become so self-aware of your own triggers, your own communication things, because otherwise your response and reaction to your people, as you know, is all based on you.
Yeah.
Protecting your ego, what's going on and wrong with you, and you really can't take care of those people.
Yeah, and I think so much of it is competing with, you know, as managers, you're really just trained, do what's best for the business, do what's best for the business, do what's best for the business. And people are the afterthought of how that work gets done. And this whole mindset and what people are expecting in the workforce now, when they're interviewing with you and they've got four other job offers, even in a tight labor market like we're seeing, they're for highly talented people, that top 10% of the workforce that's really skilled at what they do, and they know they have four or five different options, they're actually not only measuring you up in terms of, hey, do I like where the business is going, but do I also enjoy the dynamic I'm sharing with this person who's going to be my direct manager? Do I feel like I get along with them well? Is there a way that my work-life balance will feed me rather than distract or drain me in these interactions? And so as much as I know in the past, you know, we have to think about the business needs and where we're going. Again, totally understand that. And we do have to think about what the business needs and what's best for the company. But you also have to give that equal amount of attention to the person and how they do their best work.
Absolutely. And you said I've bolded and starred. That's why I keep looking down all these notes. I'm like,
yeah.
That it's what sets people apart, this communication factor of taking time to invest in all these things, in the self-awareness and all of it, and being able to do those communication skills, those soft skills, the conflict resolution, being able to have courageous conversations, being willing to do that. We talked about it earlier a little bit. So to revisit it, that often, you know, this top level leadership as a CEO, as the owner, we expect a lot from the next level, or need a lot of that from the next level. And those middle level leaders, yeah, middle level managers, we're expecting a lot from them, right? We expect them to be the communication to put this in place, so those people aren't spending 2 hours a day figuring out what to do. So they have so much responsibility in this leadership, and we're expecting a lot of communication from them. But how do we be good leaders for those people? Let's talk a little bit about what this means in that middle management role of the people that need led and need to be good leaders.
Right. They're stuck in the middle, right? Managers, middle management is stuck in the middle right now of all of these conversations. You have executive leadership, or those top two or three people running a small business, really in charge of the vision and the strategy for the year. They're looking for how the business is going to grow. What do we need in order to keep this growth trajectory up? What sort of demands are coming from consumers and customers so that we can keep up with those needs and get a better position in our marketplace? Then you've got managers who have to take into account what's coming from the top. And they also have to match that with what their team is giving them from the bottom up. And they're stuck in the middle. They're in a tough place right now, especially in a stressful environment where there's a highly competitive labor force. They're trying to keep their people happy and not overworked, because they want to retain these good people, while upper echelons of leadership is also saying, hey, yes, we need that good amount of performance tension so that we can get to where we need to go. And managers are tasked with communicating a lot of this, or at least translating it. And oftentimes there can be good stories about translation from the top down and bad stories. But Gallup, and many people know this, like Gallup came out with a study back in 2013, I think it was, that just said, people don't leave bad companies, they leave bad managers. And that is still proving true for the most part through the pandemic and everything else. But I will say that people are more looking at the company and the brand. Yes, they absolutely need that first level checked by saying, do I like the people I'm going to work with? That very next thing though is, does the company stand for something I believe in? Does it share my values? And that's something you have to develop as a manager or as a leader, where you're saying, how are we communicating our core values? How do we position ourselves with pursuing a need in the world that is meaningful and everybody can get behind? They can have their own individual purpose that can match with the company's purpose. They need their own individuality, but you also need to give them a reason to believe in something beyond a salary. And that's something that we continue to do here at Carson Group. And it takes consistency. It takes a lot of courage in order to put yourself into those types of conversations with your workforce, with your workers. Right now, again, from what you had mentioned earlier, it starts with self-awareness. There are two types, by the way, and I always have to remind people of this. When you think about self-awareness, and leaders can be infamously terrible at this, where they say, I know how I am. You know, I have a good amount of self-awareness. I know where my pitfalls are. I know where I'm strong. And it's like, yes, you may have that somewhat of a good sense of your internal self-awareness, but do you have the external self-awareness too? Do you know how others think of you? And oftentimes we do not take that extra step to talk with our teams in one-on-ones. We don't actually go there with team meetings to say, you know, I actually want to get a good assessment. Something that we're exploring right now at Carson is just doing 360 reviews so that there is this full spherical review of a single person on the executive team, both from the top down and the bottom up, yeah. Whether it's the people you're managing, giving you an assessment of how you are as a leader, or those who are passing direction down to you and saying, how effective are you at executing on this stuff every day? And that sort of 360 degree view or lens that you take with yourself internally, hey, how do I think of myself? And how does that compare to how the rest of the world sees me? That's where it gets to be a really interesting conversation with yourself. And to me, communication falls at the center of all this. I mean, yes. One of the most requested qualities of clients, of customers in our profession, when we're serving people on the wealth management side of the business, again, we're dealing with people's assets. Oftentimes, you know, it is the most valuable thing they have, whether it's a home, a dream, a retirement. They are looking to us to communicate with them frequently. And if we don't have enough self-awareness to know how to connect with them, and we don't know how they see us as the role we take in their lives, we're doing them a disservice and not serving them to our highest ability too. So again, there is so much research behind this in terms of trust barometer that I mentioned before, you know, with businesses being the most trusted. But like you said earlier, you have to see this as an opportunity, not as something that's that's going to scare you away from leading your team and leading your company.
Yeah, an opportunity and your willingness to do that. Like when you talked about 360 reviews and the two types of self-awareness, the willingness to see that feedback. And a lot of people don't have that. Right. I love feedback. Like, give me feedback, make me better from all different perspectives. If you don't know how you're coming across to people, coming across to your stakeholders, to your clients, to those around you, and constantly, you know, asking for that feedback to make whatever your communication looks like better and clearer. Right. Because otherwise, yeah, we're communicating the story in our head, how we think it looks good. But unless you really ask for that and are willing to soak it in and make changes and get better. Yeah, I love that 360 reviews and the reminder of there are two types of self-awareness. In all kinds of comments, I forget to look at the comments and the questions. So if you are listening live on Facebook, keep leaving us comments and keep asking more questions. And Edward asked the question about leaders and communication, which I was going to get to next. Like, how can we be better communicators as leaders? And he talks about that and, communication. How can we be better communicators as leaders? And how lack of communication does turn to that turnover.
Yeah. I think so. For as much as we could talk about how can we be better communicators, there is the flip side of look at the biggest mistakes we've witnessed throughout my career too. And those kind of go hand in hand. I would say the first thing you want to focus on anytime that I'm trying to help convey a message across the organization, and this could be to a group of three people or to a group of 300, you're looking at what is it we want those people to feel by reading this message. Mm-hmm. Before we even get into the what, let's focus on how is this going to make them feel? Do we want to, and to me, that is my role at Carson. My role is about providing two things, clarity and confidence. And I say this to our executive team all the time. One, I want our communications to come across so that our stakeholders feel absolutely clear on how this information is going to impact them. So let's say we make a change management decision, or there's some decision we make where we pivot in the company. It's going to impact three departments and how they prioritize their work, what they focus on this quarter, so on and so forth. They have to know exactly what is happening and how this is going to change the way they focus their time and energy each day. So they need that clarity. And two, they need confidence in leadership. They need confidence in the company. They need confidence in the fact that I know exactly what I'm getting from the top down. I feel good about this decision because I feel like the leader has thought it through all the way. And now I have the clarity along with the confidence in order to do my job well. If you can provide confidence and clarity in your communications, those are the feelings I start with. And then, of course, we need to look at how to have tough conversations too, right? Most leaders just aren't adept at having those skills. And that's something that we can kind of broach into here with what does that look like to have a really good high stakes conversation? I'm sure that's where a lot of people get hung up. Some of the biggest communications mistakes I've seen with all of this, one, we jump to assumptions. I can't tell you how many times I've had a leader or a manager jump into the room and immediately persecute someone simply because they have a story, like you said before, they've been telling themselves a story in their head about why work hasn't been completed or why we let the client down in a certain way. And if the more time they have to stew on this, the more you're going to come into a room hot with your own assumptions. And oftentimes they get corrected about halfway through when they hear the rest of the story from your colleague who's been doing the work and saying, yes, we did anticipate X, Y, and Z, and this is why we went this direction. And you just realize, wow, I've been blowing a lot of steam and wasting a lot of emotional capital over nothing. And so I think we jump to assumptions very quickly. We get defensive. You know, if somebody attacks our work or if somebody attacks our leadership style, we take that very personally. And we have to find ways to say, you know, what is the business need right now? How can we not become so defensive? There are times where those comments are going to hurt and sting a little, but you do have to find this balance of understanding what your team needs from you in that role, not necessarily it being a personal attack of your character or of your abilities. One, I think the biggest challenge I've run into as a communicator, I have to do a lot of mind reading half the time, or I have to guess at what our executive team wants from a message to go out. They have the bare bones, but oftentimes they need me to fill in a lot of the gaps or think about the things that they haven't thought about. And they just assume that I'm mind melding with them through some sort of telepathic ability where I can just write, put into words exactly what they're thinking, and they don't communicate everything to me. So make sure that whatever's coming out of your mind is also coming out of your mouth. And then I would say just lack of focus on our favorite people. Again, back to top talent, we tend to spend less time on the people who are performing really well in our company because they're performing well. And then we spend 80% of our time as managers and as leaders dealing with the issues or the challenges or the challenging people in our office that may not be good cultural fits. And the very people that are keeping the company up and standing are the ones who are getting the worst treatment. So I would just remind people, focus on, you know, your high factor people, because they need the attention and the recognition as much as, and the attention as much as your underperformers do. And all of these have a common thread, right? They have to do with operating with those stories we tell ourselves. And so the more self-aware you become, the more you can step outside of yourself when you need to have a high stakes conversation. And I think this is kind of where we can get into some of the process that I like to walk people through. And some of this comes from, actually, if we do book recommendations here, Insight, the book by Tasha Urich, is a great book suggestion for those who are really trying to improve their self-awareness. She talks about internal and external awareness. But one of the things she brings up is just this importance of asking what and not why. So for once, we're not going to ask the why question. And that's been a big question over the last, you know, decade in business. There's been a lot of focus on why. But it's more about asking, like, what questions help us stay objective, future focused, and empowered in order to act on those insights that we're getting in. So why questions can sometimes put us in this spiral, like, why is somebody making me feel this way in the meeting? Why do I feel so terrible about not getting the work done or meeting expectations? That's not productive. Oftentimes we can spin out in that for hours in a workday, and it just either makes us resent a person or the company. Instead, I think we need to ask the what question. So ask, what are the situations that make me feel so terrible right now? What is it that's making me feel like I didn't measure up to expectations? And what do those feelings have in common about my ability to do my job? And I think that those what questions allow us to separate from ourselves a little bit and give us that opportunity to be productive. Yeah.
Once again, so much to dive into there. One of the most important, and people commented on that, is that constantly thinking about how will this make people feel? How does all the types of communication that are coming out, and always being conscious of, you know, it's not just that these things need communicated in this order, everyone needs these facts, but really always thinking about how you're making people feel. And that goes into everything that we've said in retaining and making people feel important, and all the things is always at that top of mind. And your clarity and confidence. That should be on a board. That should be on my board.
Know.
Does this message create clarity, not confusion?
If you can do those two things, hey, it's for the short attention span of a leader, right? If you only have a short attention span to remember a few things, those are the two roles you have in your communication to your team.
Everyone put those on a sticky note on your on your computer. And then I love that you dove into some aspects of high stakes conversations, because when you're talking about losing people, losing clients, losing team members, and when you said, you know, how does a leader, does that determine turnover? And the inability to have, we are no longer in an environment where you can avoid high stakes conversations. So as you said, it's your willingness to have those, to take a step away from your ego and to have those conversations, to not hide behind and to the own story in your head, and to really lean into seeking perspective, seeking understanding first before you play the tape in your head.
That's a great point you bring up, because why do we not want to seek that sort of feedback? Because it takes a lot of time and energy, quite honestly. I mean, it can be emotionally exhausting to go there. And that's oftentimes why leaders avoid it, because they feel like they've got more important things to tackle related to the business. And it's just a lot of work. We know this in our relationships, right? In our friendships. If we're in a disagreement or a fight, or we need to resolve something but that is fissuring the relational fabric of our dynamic, it takes a lot of work to remend that. And so in so many ways, leaders avoid this because they are tough conversations to have, and it does take a little bit of work. You have to actually sit down with that person, give them your time and energy, and have a productive conversation.
Absolutely. But that is the difference when you say what sets it apart is that. So we talked a lot about how this communication, and again, the clarity, the confidence, how people feel, and how much all of that affects company culture and is the, you know, really the foundation of that. So in leadership and communicating to that, how do we create this environment in this culture of growing up, our own leaders, developing leaders from within?
Oh yeah. I like this. So something that we call this at Carson is we grow our own. And in many cases, we want our own people to understand that with as much growth that the company can go through, we're going to look to our own people for that sort of development. We're going to develop them into leaders before we look to somebody from the outside. And we've made this mistake before where we have hired people from the outside without assessing the talent we already have within. And that oftentimes creates a little bit of a cultural fissure within the company. And so what we try to do is pride ourselves in saying we will grow our own. I think the number one competitive advantage as a business leader over the next 3 years, as it relates to retaining talent, but also attracting talent, is the fact that you need to create and develop growth plans for your team members. Think about how you can develop them either professionally with their skills or promoting them through, you know, giving them some leadership ability. In any case, if they see you investing in their long-term growth, they're a lot more likely to stay with you as a company. And in a world where we're throwing out a lot of different salary numbers and compensation seems to be the number one way in which we're fighting for talent and we're trying to steal talent from one place to the other, sooner or later that only goes so far. You can only pay somebody so much for the job they're willing to do. They also need to value the people they work with and what sort of opportunity they have for growth in the company over the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years. And that's something we are doubling down on this year internally. For us to, it's great that we got all of these people. I think we hired a little over 100 people last year into Carson Group. And we have all these amazing people, but now we have to figure out how to keep them here and how to make this an attractive place, a best place to work in Omaha, which was just announced here last week locally. And so it's great to be among that list of best places to work, but then you realize how much work you have to do in order to continue to invest in those people. So make authentic, frequent communication a necessity in your business. I think the number one thing a lot of leaders need to do right now is take stake of what's going on in your company. How do people feel? I always say, you know, this, be an intentional listener. Sit down and just listen to what people have to say about where they're having challenges, what they see as opportunity. You know, what's the number one advantage of working here and why did you choose us over someone else? Just ask those open-ended questions to get information from them. And then be somebody who's a sincere empath. Like, sit in the mud with your people when they're going through a hard time. Like, you don't necessarily have to fix it right away. You just have to sit there with them and say, I understand it was a tough day, or we've had an issue with this client before, and I'm here on your side to make sure we resolve it the right way. I'm not going to pit you against me in this whole battle and have the client on my side, and then we're suddenly against you as the manager in order to fix this. So there's a lot of different dynamic ways we can switch how we're talking to our team. Value your managers, value your team leads. Managers are the ones reporting higher rates of stress right now and work-life balance issues. So look at what the research is saying and just train your leaders to be more empathetic, better communicators, and develop them by giving them a clear growth plan. And that takes a lot of work too. That takes investing time in your people and communicating well with them about what they want and then what you need as a business. So always matching their personal desires and growth plans with, this is what the business needs. Here's what you want. Here's what the business needs. If you can find common ground, that's where the magic happens with those conversations.
Where the magic happens.
Yeah.
So much on that. I cannot believe we're out of time because I could have made an whole hour, I think, of each little question and conversation and dove through. I wrote down in that one, sit in the mud. I might write that on my board too, besides
that's confidence. Another, I will say, I stole that. I just heard Simon Sinek use it in a podcast interview like 2 weeks ago. And he said he had a very real interview where somebody was asking him where he's at in his life right now. And he's like, you know, I just need to be there for my friends and my family. And I need to sit in the mud with them. I don't need to fix them. I don't need to try and present solutions. I just need to be empathetic and understand that where they're at, I can be with them and hold space for them in that situation.
And that is, I mean, when you say that, that's so true of people and connections we have in, and is becoming more and more in business, right? Yeah. So, you know, when you say that, I think we've always thought of sit in the mud things that we expected family to do with us or just a group of friends. And I have certainly learned this over the year, and like you have done that for me of like, just hold space for someone in those difficult moments, whatever that means, in that space of self-awareness, that's a sit in the mud, right? As a leader, when you need to take a deep dive into your own self-awareness, to have places and people who can sit in that with you.
And know that they don't need you to fix anything. They just want support to know how they feel. They want somebody to know how they feel and just to agree with the fact that I know how you feel. I've been there and I'll be here for whatever you need me for.
And I'll be here for whatever you need. And maybe echo some different words of support. I mean, because you're so good at communication, you do that well. It's like echo the perspective and like, it's okay. It's okay to be in the mud. I'll sit here with you.
Yeah.
So final comments, if we're summing up everything that we have talked, I don't know how you're going to sum it all up. There are parting words of importance that you want to leave everyone with today. What would
you be? Yeah, you know, I know we've got like a minute left. And so mine comes down
to...
I know, I got you. But I think if I summarize everything, you know, we bounced around to a lot of different topics. Mm-hmm. To me, there's just not enough communication happening in the workforce today. There's a lot of assumptive communication going on. And so I have operated off of this quote that I heard from, well, I read it from George Bernard Shaw many years ago. And it's actually one of the reasons why I got into communication. It's one of the reasons why I continue to love doing communications consulting and coaching with people here in the office, as well as friends, family, others who just need that perspective. George Bernard Shaw says that the single greatest problem in communication is the illusion it has taken place. And to me, I don't think there's a better way you could sum up so many of the issues in the world today, both within the workforce, outside the workforce. There is a lot happening. There's a lot of different agendas, a lot of different ways to consume information. But yet the greatest problem we have with communication and taking in information is the illusion that has taken place. And usually that's pointing at the leader and saying, you think you communicated well. Oftentimes, you know, you think just because you thought it, your team is going to pick up on where you're at mentally. And you actually need to take the time to communicate that out, write it into words, send an email, or hold a team meeting, whatever it is. Never take advantage of the fact that you think it's been communicated, because it most likely hasn't to the degree in which you need it to be.
That's a powerful one for the board as well. Not only in business, but in all the relationships in our life is the illusion, our own illusion that communication has happened.
That's right.
Well, thank you again so much for your time, Joe. Amazing, like so many nuggets and just self-awareness that I have from the things that you taught us today. So thank you again for your time and everyone for tuning in live. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.